Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You got problems that you ought to be concerned with. Moolah! You don't know how you're supposed to earn it, or what to do with it, or how to keep it. You're a freak with a dark, shameful secret. But you're not the only one. Get your hidden financial fears with a blast of sun. Now your healing has begun. It's Bad with Money with Gabby Dunn.
Hello! Welcome to this week's Bad with Money mailbag episode. I'm Gabby Dunn. This week I am joined by Mal Blum to react and respond to your messages and emails. Let's get
into it.
What is that?
It's not an instrument. It's a fidget spinner.
Oh, it sounded like a maraca. No, it sounded like a rain stick.
No, it's a little fidget spinner. But it's gold and black, so you feel less like a child when you're using it.
I thought you lost that one.
I did. This is the thing about having ADHD and having fidget spinners. You lose them all the time, and then you find them random. I just found this here.
Whoa. That's kind of a glitch, because I thought I lost it at a restaurant or somewhere public.
I had two of them.
I lost it at a bar.
Oh, I broke it. I broke this one.
All right. Well, on today's show, I'm going to read an email from Andy about financial role models, a review about anti-money laundering laws, an idea for a chronic illness episode, and Ferg writes in about their vasectomy. In the second half of the show, I'm going to read an email about YNAB, ADHD budgeting, parents buying your debt, special education accommodations, and a reply to our Selling Sunset episode, plus 2 5-star Apple reviews and an email about workplace accommodations. Okay.
YNAB. YNAB is back.
Yeah. What is their marketing like? Because, wow.
I just don't believe it.
They have like 12 marketing people just writing into this podcast every episode.
Maybe. Because like every app I download to help me like goes to the app graveyard of things that I thought could help me. And I have no reason to believe that YNAB would be any different.
Yes. Well, let's see what this person said. Okay. Ooh, interesting. Hi, Gabby and Mal. Longtime listener. Bonjour. Well, I think so. Maybe. I don't know. Time isn't real. I know you've had your fair share of YNAB emails by now, but hear me out. So I heard about YNAB on your podcast. They got to pay me. And as someone with ADHD who is chronically checking their bank account and budgeting accordingly, I'm talking like every other day adjustments. It sounded perfect. A previous listener's email mentioned having a shitty little notebook, and I have a shitty little notebook of my own. I also have upgraded to Google Sheets since hearing that episode. To that listener, thank you for opening my eyes. I liked YNAB so much at first. The envelope method is something that is truly so helpful to my ADHD brain. I like that YNAB's free trial is a little over a month, so you can get a good grasp on whether or not it's for you. Not that 2-week BS. However, having to pay for it, well, I don't think the price is meant for someone who's more or less living paycheck to paycheck, aka someone who could benefit the most from an app like this. Even if you have a little left over, rationally, that money is better spent somewhere else.
One of the YNAB envelopes just says YNAB.
Right? Whoa. I've adapted the YNAB method into my shitty little notebook that's not $14.99 a month. I attached a photo because I can't really describe it, but I kind of use the envelope method using the visual of a tree stemming from my bank's current balance or my payment amount, with the branches or envelopes being the bills. You keep subtracting, and at the end, you have what's left over for whatever you want. I hope this makes sense and hopefully helped give someone ideas. Budgeting is hard. I love Bad With Money and JBU, and I hope you know you brighten so many people's days. Kyla, she, her.
YNAB should work on commission. They should take a percentage of your profit, and that way...
What? How do they know your profit?
I don't know what YNAB does or doesn't know at this point.
Jesus.
They seem to be ubiquitous.
I agree that $14.99 is a bit much.
Am I using the word ubiquitous correctly?
Ubiquitous means like it's common.
Well, okay, they seem to be omnipresent.
Is YNAB here right now? We're doing a Ouija board. We're like, YNAB.
Do you see YNAB in the room right now?
Is YNAB here right now? Okay. Hi, Gabby and Mal. Been obsessed with this show since Gabby started it way back in 2016. Always try to listen on the day it drops, but occasionally life happens and I'm sorry. Just wanted to echo what the listener said about tiller money. I'm not technically diagnosed with ADHD, but I think I am one of the many undiagnosed women who have it. Anyway, I love it, and it is the only budgeting tool that has worked for me. It has also made budgeting with my partner so easy. We started having monthly budgeting meetings, 1 hour max, and pizza and beer required to make sure no one is hangry. And it has changed the game on our finances. That's really cute.
I wish we did something like that.
We can. We don't have really combined finances at all.
Yeah, we don't. Well, we have the one joint account, but we just put money in there for the mortgage and only that amount.
Yeah. I'm scared. I don't want to combine finances. Is that okay?
Yeah, I would say that's probably a good idea.
Okay, great. We agree. No pizza and beer required.
Yeah, I don't know about us, but I think the ideal for me, I feel like, would be to have everybody has their own finances, but then there is like maybe a joint account for different like household expenses and stuff that.
Okay,
but
I'm bad. I pay a lot of stuff on credit cards, and then I pay the credit cards at the end of the month. Oopsies.
Why are you bad?
Oh, I
do the same thing.
I don't know, because I wouldn't be able to like put that. I wouldn't be able to put like money into a joint account because I just pay a lot of bills off of credit cards.
I pay off my credit cards, but I pay as much on credit cards as I can.
Right.
To get the points, and then I pay them off.
Right.
But in general, I think that's a good way to be, you know, if once people are like married and stuff, once you're in it for like the long haul, I guess.
Sure. This person says, I also have a friend that is diagnosed ADHD that did an insanely detailed deep dive and trial and error with many budgeting apps, and he now swears by weeklybudgeting.com. Just throwing it out there in case that helps anyone. Love the show. Thank you for all your work. Maggie, she, her. Now, are you here from weeklybudgeting.com? I trust no one anymore. Okay.
No, it's Maggie Fish.
Our episode with Maggie Fish about The Shining and horror movies for Halloween.
That was a fun one.
That was a fun one. Go back and listen to it. This is the future. We're talking to you from the past.
We're talking to you from the past.
The past.
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon, Gabby, and probably Mal. Hi. I'm a longtime listener and fan from back in your BuzzFeed days. I'm also non-binary, she, they, bisexual, and bipolar, a wonderful trio of bis. It's nice to see myself represented in the industry of financial advice media. Thank you so much. Throughout my adult life, I have fluctuated between fiscal responsibility and wild spending, like a true bipolar individual. In the Navy, I saved thousands on deployment only to get back home and spend it all, mostly on hotel rooms, in a matter of months. You gotta finish that story. Anyway, okay. What does that mean? Okay. In college, I was responsible for a time, then had a manic episode after a breakup where I racked up thousands in credit card debt only to dig my way out. I graduated in 2012. Then I had a baby, experienced postpartum psychosis, recovered, took a job making commission, selling life insurance isn't for everyone, racked up another $5,000 in credit card debt, and finally settled into a nice job for the state I live in, working in grants and management, which I love. I know you will read this all if you choose to, so I will get to the point. I'm in a good, stable place with my career and working on paying debts and saving money for a house. My partner owns our current home, but with the baby, it's time to upgrade. She's 2, and we want to be in our forever home, or at least until retirement, before she starts school. In getting serious about my finances, I want to be a good financial role model to my daughter, but also my young coworkers, as my boss is to me. Every day before work, I pack my breakfast and lunch for the day. As much as I'd like to order out sometimes, I diligently pack lunch and occasionally treat myself. I have a coworker in her 20s and one about 30 who is saving for her own house. Thinking about how my habits might influence others helps encourage me to make better financial choices every day. Loving your show. Keep up the good work. Best, Andy, she, they.
You know what's funny is like, that is something I literally would never notice if my coworker ordered in or brought their lunch.
I would.
I don't notice stuff like that.
I want to tell you a sad thing. Is that I worked at a women's magazine. And I worked in the IT department. And but all of our desks were near each other. I noticed that I would go out and get lunch every day and come back, and none of the other women ate.
Oh, well, yeah, I would notice in that regard. Yes, I would probably notice that.
It took me like a couple weeks to notice it, and then I was like, oh, no. I know. Isn't that sad?
It's sad that I am not like surprised by that culture in a place of work, but... I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah. Well, that's not really what Andy's email was about, but that's just something sad that happened to me at a job. noticed at a job.
That's what this podcast is.
It just kind like of boils down to
some money journalism and then like our own rambling.
Yeah. Andy, this was really relatable, the bipolar aspect of it. So thank you for writing that in.
You know how in like 12-step programs, they're like, you need a higher power or whatever. The fuck, like, I do think sometimes people need sort of an external motivation. So I think if it's helping you to, you know, be like, I'm acting as a role model for my coworkers, then it doesn't really matter if they're noticing or not.
Yeah, I love that. Here's an email from Deirdre. Hey, Gabby and Mal, listening to the episodes this season, which I'm loving, has made me wonder if you might consider doing an episode on the costs of chronic illness. As I mentioned in a past email, I have endometriosis along with some other chronic conditions. And while I've never calculated the costs, I know it impacts my finances on many levels. I think many people might not be aware of how costly chronic illness can be within the flawed U.S. healthcare system. And with long COVID on the rise, it's something that can impact more and more people. I learn a ton from you all the time and appreciate all that you are doing to raise awareness about finances and also about social and political issues that are deeply entwined with capitalism. Also, the more queer podcasts, the better. Thanks for all you do, Deirdre, she, they. Yes, we should do a chronic illness episode because, well, actually, why don't we do it kind of like cost of transition? If you have a chronic illness, write in to gabbyisbadwithmoney@gmail.com and tell me what the costs are. Let's do a similar one to cost of transition.
I have somebody who would be good to interview.
Yeah, tell them to write in. Do you want to hear an email about vasectomies? You don't have a choice.
Always.
Hi, Gabby and Mal. After listening to the recent mailbag discussion on IUDs, I want to give a big shout out to vasectomies. I love my two beautiful children very much, 3 years old and 6 months old, but I definitely don't want to have any more. So I got a vasectomy.
Ooh, you got a handful right now. Sounds kind of like my nieces. Three years and six months.
It cost only New Zealand dollars, $550. It was the quickest I have ever been in and out of any medical appointment. At the clinic reception, I wrote my name down on a clipboard. I didn't even have the chance to take a seat in the waiting room before the doctor welcomed me into the surgery room. He told me to remove my pants and lay down while administering a local anesthetic. He made some small talk, asking about my job, what a typical workday for me is like. I barely got past talking about eating breakfast and the procedure was over. Doctor told me to call him if there was any issues and I was free to go. I was in and out in about 15 minutes, dead ass. The procedure itself was less painful than a typical dental checkup. I rested for the next 2 days, icing my balls, which were a bit tender. I had to take ibuprofen and avoid heavy lifting for a week. 3 months after the vasectomy, I will give a semen sample to a lab to confirm it definitely worked as intended.
Vasectomies are it doesn't work.
I know. I think that's happened to some people. Vasectomies are very safe since they last a lifetime, extremely cheap, and other than total abstinence, are the most reliable form of contraception. With current vasectomy techniques, it is even possible to reverse the procedure if you decide you want children in the future. Vasectomies have no effect on sex drive, erections, or hormones. For any betesticled people who are done with reproduction, this person's writing is so funny. A vasectomy is an excellent choice of contraception. It's also nice that my wife doesn't have to suffer the side effects of an IUD or hormonal contraceptives. Let's go vasectomy. Snip, snip, baby. P.S. I always love the show, Ferg.
Team vasectomy.
Wow.
You know, I was just watching. I'd be curious your ethical take on this.
Go on.
I was just watching the cinematic classic The Gilmore Girls. And Melissa McCarthy's character is named Suki, and Suki has a baby. And while she's in the hospital, her husband Jackson comes in, and she's like, "You're getting a vasectomy," and he's like, "What? No, And then she's like, oh, yes, you are. I'm not doing this again. And he's like, all right, fine. And then they whisk him away and they give him a vasectomy. Thoughts?
Why is it always – it's so tied to masculinity. Like, anytime you see that on a show, it's like the guy is like, no, I don't want to. I'm masculinity. I'm a man.
Wow. Okay. That is so interesting. I took exactly the opposite from that. I was like, nobody should pressure their partner into a medical procedure that they don't want to have.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I agree with you. But I just think there's like this masculinity aspect to it that like isn't true. But then you know what I've seen on the flip side? I had an ex who fucks a lot and he got a vasectomy and I think he did it because it's like freeing. He's like, great. Now I can go and do whatever I want. No problem.
If
I had a penis, I would do it in 5 seconds.
Here's my thought on that. If you're hooking up with random guys, right? I don't trust these guys. Like, men,
that's
men
true.
Lie.
He should still be wearing a condom. He should still be wearing a condom.
I mean, do you know how many times like somebody on like an app has been like, oh no, I don't have social media, but you know, cause like, I'll be like, you know, before meeting up, I need to like verify that you're a real person or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, oh no, I don't have any social media. I'm just like weird that way.
That
means like,
they're married
or something.
Yeah.
Or something. One time a guy was like, sure, do you want to come over? And then texted me and was like, my boyfriend's going to watch too. And I'm like, what boyfriend? You didn't mention a boyfriend. There's no way, you know, when COVID was happening, when COVID first became a thing, there was no vaccine. There were no tests.
I know this story.
The guys on Grindr were like trying to come on over. One guy was like, they all were like, yeah, I've been tested for COVID. And I'm like, we're in New York. There is a dearth of tests. There's zero chance unless you're a doctor.
Wasn't there someone who was like, I'm vaccinated. And they're like, wasn't a vaccine.
He was like, I get tested for COVID regularly for my job. I was like, what's your job? He's like, I work in a restaurant. I'm like, that's not true. At that time, the only tests available were for like emergencies or doctors.
Yeah,
like there's,
I know.
They were not regularly giving tests to like.
Okay. Yes. So if a guy was like, no, I've had a vasectomy, don't worry. You would be like, yeah, right.
Especially because of how many of them, because I'm very strict on condom use. I can't tell you how many, like, you know, when you're like, yeah, sorry, my hard boundaries are like condoms and blah, blah, blah. They're like, cool, cool, cool. Yeah, I'm cool with all that. And then they'll be like, but like, I do have plan B. So like, would you consider like, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like they always try to like, no pun intended, slip it in.
That
and
is so funny because like, are they going to watch you take it? You know what I mean? Like, how do they know?
They don't give a shit.
They'll give a shit. Believe me, they'll give a shit when they have to pay child support. I'll tell you what.
They're not
anyway,
thinking of it like that because.
Well, they should be.
I know. That's the other thing. And like, I've started saying that. I'm like, well, it's STD.
Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. I don't know if you know, but I'm a business myself, and I have to run everything on my own, and it is very difficult, especially to deliver you a product such as this podcast. Luckily, I have Melissa to help me, and we want to keep all the money that we make. So how do we do that? NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math, see how you'll profit from NetSuite. Everything is so expensive. How do I boost performance? How do I pay everyone? How do I cut costs? Here you go. You want inventory? You want financial systems in the cloud? You got it, baby. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/badwithmoney. 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 We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employees agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring in one place so easy. Like, think about how much you have to do in order to hire someone and how much you have to gather, plus scheduling, plus messaging. Like, if I was looking to hire someone, I would feel that it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish that I could use Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Just go to Indeed.com/badwithmoney right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. I have been using Mint to manage my finances, but bad news. Mint has shut down, but here's the good news. There's a better alternative, Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarch.com/badmoney. It is very stressful, confusing, and time-consuming to manage my finances. I try all the apps, as you guys know, and I've just been like flighty with them. They've never stuck. But now I have Monarch, and it is easy to use. It has powerful features like collaboration tools, intuitive design, personalization, product improvements. It's just been really helpful to see everything laid out and especially be able to collaborate if I want to. Did you know that money issues are a leading cause of divorce? Yeah, we've talked about that a lot here. Monarch, the top-rated personal finance app, also has built-in collaboration features so you can invite your partner at no extra cost. Together, you can see all your finances, collaborate on your budget, and get insights on your cash flow and recurring transactions. It's the easiest way to manage your household finances. Are you saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation? Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Of course, I've been frustrated in the past with personal finance apps that are cluttered with ads. So was Monarch. So they built a new kind of personal finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and constantly improving based on customer feedback. Experience a personal finance app that prioritizes the user experience above all else. We never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying out Monarch myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. That's monarchmoney.com/badmoney for your extended 30-day free trial.
Or whatever. And then I'm like, you know, also I can still get pregnant, probably, whatever. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Anyway, yeah. All I'm saying is that if I was on an app and a dude was like, we don't have to use condoms, I've had a vasectomy, I'd be like, okay, that I love that for you. We will still be using, like, you know.
I do agree with you, though, that you should never pressure your partner into a medical procedure. I may have been wrong there. I'm right. I mean, I'm wrong. Okay.
I mean, you didn't see the scene. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
you well, were just
write
going
in.
Off
let
of.
Us know what you guys think. Thanks, Ferg. Okay, this is from Tom, he, him. Hi, Gabby and or Mal. I wanted to write in regarding the discussion in the last mailbag episode about the idea of a parent buying their child's debt and the child paying the parents back instead. Over the pandemic, my sister got herself into some debts due to not working full-time, hospitality. It wasn't a huge sum of money, but it was high interest and it was more than she could pay. My parents and I agreed to get together and pay off her debt, and she would pay us back over time, interest-free. This has worked out pretty well for us all. My sister is debt-free and has paid us all back. We gave caveats, though, when we agreed to pay her debt. She would have to create a budget and stick to it. I went through her bank statements with her to help her understand where her money was going and where she could save a bit of money. I know this isn't a solution for a lot of people, and not everyone has family who's willing to do it. We could only manage it because it wasn't a large amount, and there was three of us. I just wanted to share our experience as a family who did buy someone's debt. Thanks for your entertaining and informative podcast, Tom. P.S. After the IUD discussion, don't forget the arm implant is also a longer-term solution that doesn't involve messing with the cervix. All right, I stand corrected on the parents buying debt. Fine. I stand corrected.
That's nice. It sounds like they all came around like the penguins, you know, when the penguins surround the other penguin till they get better.
I don't know about that. When a penguin is sick, other penguins surround it to get better?
Yeah, I read it. I read it in a Matthew Perry interview.
What is this show? What is this show? Who are we?
I have ADD.
Okay.
You want to know something about the arm implant?
What?
This harkens back to the last mailbag when I was talking about my health class in high school.
Yeah.
So they're talking about different types of contraception, right? And they're talking about how you can get like the arm shot or whatever. And that's like you can have the horn, whatever. And then they're talking about the ring. Uh-oh. And so, well, I assumed it was a ring like on your finger.
Oh my God.
When I was 14 and a half, 15, I was like, oh, is it like a ring? Oh, they can put it in your arm? They can put it on your finger? Anyway, it's not. It goes in your vagina.
Oh my God.
Or your cervix.
Oh my God.
Where does the ring go? I don't know. Somewhere.
In your cervix. I don't know. I had the ring for a hot minute and it gave me migraines. So who knows? But it could be a good
idea. The ring was all the rage for a minute.
It was, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, here we go. Anonymous. Hi, Gabby. I have so many thoughts on selling Sunset and the real estate industry more generally. I've had a weird life. I've done a lot of things. For nearly 6 years, I worked at a multifamily brokerage doing research and marketing for brokers. Multifamily is considered commercial real estate, not residential. Basically, the brokers were helping landlords buy and sell apartment buildings. So, you know, I have thoughts on landlords too, but that's for another time. Commercial brokerage is the land of mostly mediocre white men. There are a lot of reasons for this. Most brokers don't make any money their first year, so you have to be someone who is comfortable working for free for a while. A lot of brokerages also have this weird thing where they will only hire people who played sports in college, mostly frat bros. I really don't understand that. And then there's the whole you remind me of myself when I was a lad thinking that every broker with any power inevitably perpetuates. All of this especially sucks when you realize what the commission on an entire apartment building is. You'd think I would be too sick of real estate to watch Selling Sunset. Let me tell you something. I love Selling Sunset. It is genuinely great to see these women making crazy commissions working in an industry where those usually go to frat boys who can barely use a computer. It was also great to be able to poke fun at things that reminded me of my old office, like the bell. But I will say I'm genuinely worried about some things they put on TV. I don't know much about residential real estate, but they have openly done things that would get you in trouble with licensing in commercial real estate, not to mention clients. For instance, brokers double-end deals all the time. That means the buyer and seller are represented by agents at the same brokerage. But there are things you have to be careful of when you're doing that. If you're representing a seller, you absolutely cannot say, "Here's the lowest offer I think my client will accept," to your bud representing the buyer. That is not in the best interest of your client, which is especially bad when your client is the seller. They do this all the time on Selling Sunset, and every time I wonder if everything is fake or if they're constantly paying to settle lawsuits. I hope you continue to watch the show because it is truly bonkers.
I was going to say, maybe it's state-to-state regulations.
I don't know. Thank you for putting out such fun and informative episodes every week. I'm sorry this was a novel. Keep this anonymous. I did not know that you're not allowed to do that, although it makes total sense that you're not allowed to do that. I know that we bought a house where the real estate agent was the same as for us and the sellers. But I don't know why you would sell. I don't know. I guess it's unavoidable.
I guess I was more involved, I guess, in the buying of the house. I don't know, but we experienced this.
Yes, I know we did.
But you're saying that you didn't know that they couldn't tell you, but we experienced this. She couldn't tell us, and it was like a thing.
Yes.
You don't remember?
No.
Yeah, all they can do is tell you that they think the listed price is fair and all they can do, like, for example, if she gets another offer, she can't tell you, like, she can't be like, this is what the other offer was.
Right.
Like, all she can say is, I got another offer.
I remember this.
Yeah. So it's like all these, whatever.
Rules, regulations. I wonder if they.
Although, you know what wasn't in the regulation? Telling us someone had died there 6 months prior. Thanks for that.
Yes. But yes, I do remember that. I was there when we bought our house. That does make me wonder if things are fake or if maybe people watching just don't know that. But I got to think a lot of real estate agents watch it.
But I think the buyers and sellers would be displeased by that.
Right? That's what I would think.
I mean, a lot of reality shows are scripted. But
well,
also
huge if true.
Yeah, they just are. Also, maybe like regulations are different in certain states or at certain price points. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of loophole, you know?
Hey guys, Gabe Dunn here. I just wanted to let you guys know that I have a Patreon at patreon.com/GabeSDunn. And on that Patreon, I'm going to start doing live hangs with everyone who is a patron. So if you want to join the Patreon, you can get all these episodes ad-free, videos of our mailbag episodes, extra writing from me, blogs, fiction, other stuff, things that I'm thinking about with regards to money and personal stories, and also now live hangs with me on Zoom once a month. So join the Patreon. And if you're not a member of the Discord, hop on over to the Discord. That's free. The link will be in the description. It's so fun. So many of you guys talk over there. It's like truly popping off. And if you're on the Discord, I would love to see you in the live hang so I get to put a face to a name. So yeah, please join patreon.com/GabeSDunn and come hang out with me. Oh my gosh. Budgeting is wild. I am trying to make progress every day. I am, as you guys know, like deeply into rebuilding my finances. It is very hard to keep motivated, but I am constantly looking at the numbers, constantly like looking at ways to cut stuff. And I'm looking for new ways to save. And when I do, I can find my financial goals easier and still have the occasional treat. With a Chime checking account, you get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, or get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Learn more at chime.com/badmoney. I have constantly had to deal with overdraft fees my entire life. When I first learned what they were upon getting my first bank account, it was a very rude awakening. I also learned about something when I was writing my book, where a lot of banks take out money from your account in the order that makes you have overdraft fees, which is so unfair. But Chime allows you an overdraft of up to $200 with no fees. Join millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress. Chime helps you make progress with fee-free overdraft up to $200. Your next deposit is applied to your balance. Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. No monthly fees or maintenance fees. Over 60,000 fee-free ATMs. To date, Chime has spotted members over $20 billion. Friends give friends a boost. Eligible members get complimentary boosts to increase a friend's SpotMe limit. When you give a boost, they can boost you back to raise your limit. Set up direct deposit into your Chime account. After a qualifying direct deposit of $200 or more, Chime will notify you to enroll in SpotMe. With an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to your limit when you exceed your balance. Your next direct deposit is applied to your negative balance. Chime never charges fees or interest for using SpotMe. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/badmoney. That's chime.com/badmoney. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So this is an interesting email. Mal's accommodations.
Uh-oh.
Hi, I'm a special education teacher. Right now I teach students with autism in a self-contained life skills class. I was really excited to hear Mal mention that they had an IEP, individualized education plan, in high school, and that they received accommodations that really helped. I would love to hear Mal say that they were a special education student, although I understand if they don't want to. There are so many misconceptions about what SPED is, and most people think it's only for kids with intellectual or physical disabilities, but it's not. SPED is a beautiful rainbow, if you will. Rainbow emoji. There are SPED kids with one or two accommodations. There are SPED kids with all the accommodations. There are nonverbal kids who struggle with learning to communicate with IAs, and there are gifted and talented kids with off-the-charts IQs. I'm working hard in my school community to try to push back against special education stigma. I'd love for you to help me in the fight. Also, it's sad you did not get accommodations until high school. Maybe if more people became aware that they're available and less afraid of stigmatization, more kids will get what they need and deserve to be successful in school as early as possible. Thank you for taking the time to read. I really enjoy the show. Thanks, Sarah. Also, Mal, this is just me, Gabby, speaking. You do not have to identify as anything you don't identify as.
Thank you. What's interesting is, you know who would be a good person to interview if we ever wanted to do an episode on special education finances is my mom. because actually my mom was an administrator in the special education department. I wasn't a special education kid. Like I didn't get those accommodations until maybe my sophomore, junior year. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't remember what triggered me finally getting assessed, but before that point, I had been diagnosed with ADHD in the third grade. Mm-hmm. And I was on medication, but I was just, you know, I was in some general classes. I was in some honors classes, but like, I definitely struggled. I didn't have any resource room. I didn't have any, structure. And I think a large part of that is because of the stigma of yep. what being in those programs carry, right? Because they knew that I was, and by they, I mean my parents, who actually, I mean, this is kind of fucked up, but they were both special education teachers, but we don't have time to get into all that.
Oh, it's like when people are a shoemaker,
the cobbler's son. Yes.
The cobbler's son has no shoes. Yep. Yes. I experienced that as well.
Yes. So the thing is, I think on some level, I mean, they never said this to me, but I think they knew that I would already, they knew I was smart and they knew I would already struggle with teachers. Mm-hmm. Before I went on ADD medication, like I couldn't, like they couldn't read my writing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I was illegible. They put me on medication and then all of a sudden, like people could understand me and whatever. And I did well, but I think that they knew that if I was in special ed programs that I would sort of fall by the wayside. And that is like kind of a, I mean, that's my assumption. I don't know. I mean,
the whole point. Yeah.
My mom worked damn hard to like work with parents and teachers and like, she was really good at her job.
Stigma is so big.
It is. And I don't know that I would have done well in the resource rooms in my public school. From what I saw of what went on in there, I don't think I would have responded well. But you know what I mean? Right. I didn't even have talk therapy. All I had was fighting. All I had was fighting with my parents and fighting with myself and mm-hmm. feeling crazy. And like all I had was music and my friends. And like it was just a miserable time.
And you would have felt more isolated, maybe.
I guess, yeah. The weird thing is, like, when they put me in more challenging classes, right? When they put me in like, the AP English class, for example, like, I excelled there. I don't know. It's hard mm-hmm. to explain. But, yeah, I think you're definitely right that there's, like, a huge stigma with special ed. And there's some great programs and great teachers and some not-so-great teachers and, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But I definitely identify as somebody who has, like, a learning disability or just a disability, I guess, which is mm-hmm. taken years and years because technically, I guess ADHD isn't a learning disability. I don't know. When they assessed me, they're like, you don't technically have a learning disability because ADHD isn't a learning disability. Mm. But I don't know. It feels like a disability at this point in my life.
Oh, honey.
I don't know.
But anyway, that's okay.
Thank you for your email. I wish I had a teacher like you. I had some good teachers. I had some great teachers. And I really excelled with them. You know, I have my teacher in third grade, who's the one that flagged to my parents that I probably had ADD. Mm-hmm. I really, really liked her. I really liked her classes. I had, you know, my AP English teacher, Dr. Wilson. He still comes to my shows sometimes. I had another English teacher, Ms. Strife. Being in her class was like pure joy. I mean, are you even gay if you don't have like kindly English teachers that you imprinted onto like baby bird, you know? Like,
it's so true. It's so true. And social studies. It's English, social studies, and art teachers. Those are the ones.
I didn't like my social studies teachers. I had one I liked, but she was also my volleyball coach. And then I quit volleyball because I was having gender issues. I just struggled my whole fucking time.
Yeah, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, let's get into some reviews to finish it up.
Yeah, sorry.
This is a 5-star review. No, I appreciate your vulnerability. I love it. This is a 5-star Apple review from Blah Blah Amanda. Listen to it. Absolutely love this show. From the host to the input from the listeners, I learned so much and hear so many different valuable perspectives. I wish that I had found this podcast years ago. I'm going back and listening to old episodes and will be so sad when I run out of episodes to listen to. I love the addition of Mal. They are delightful. I also love Gabby screaming and screeching. There are more than enough podcasts with monotone hosts. Booyah.
That's right.
Booyah.
That's right.
Okay. 5 stars. Hey, it's Jude. Is this the same Jude? Okay. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Gabby and Mal are the best. Mailbag episodes are my favorite because of the different topics listeners bring up. It helps me know what topics have been covered so I can go back to check them out. Also, regarding the screaming review, yes, we can hear you, but it also cracks me up every time you do it. Boo! Booyah! Double booyah! Okay, are you ready to defend yourself, Mal Blum?
Oh, God.
Final one.
No,
two stars.
I'm ready to go die on a hill.
Two stars. Alessandra de Lampedusa, which, by the way, I looked up who you are, Alessandra, and it's a fake name. Okay.
Oh, it's not a real person?
It's the name of a historical figure. Okay.
What historical figure?
It was, who is she? German psychoanalyst.
Oh, good. Traditionally love, something Jewish people love.
She was instrumental in the reorganization of the Italian Psychoanalytic Society after World War II. I don't know what that is.
After World War II. What was she doing during World War II, I wonder?
Yeah, not a long Wikipedia page. So
Unclear. A German psychoanalyst during World War II. Great name to choose. Go on.
Now, hold on. The title is Anti-Money Laundering Laws. It's not that banks are not progressive, but Mal's stated objective to change names in an account without paperwork is lazy or naive at best. It's not personal.
How?
Do the legal work and paperwork and the rest will follow. Banks are regulated entities and are beholden to AML laws. You know who wrote this? A fucking cis person.
Obviously.
A fucking cis person. You know who's not lazy or naive? People who are trans who live in this fucking world and who have to do so much to do the most basic shit.
Also, they're just wrong. If that were true, then I would have gotten a uniform policy and answer from every bank. But you are wrong.
Triple booyah.
Sorry, but you are. And I, you know what? Let me tell you what. Another thing. How about if you have to pay money and go through all of your active IDs and change everything in order for people to like not call you like Marissa, like despite whatever your name is, then come talk to me about being lazy.
You didn't even use your real name to leave this review.
Yeah. How about we charge you $300 for that?
I'm going to charge you $300 for leaving this review with a fake name, unless you really are Alessandra de Lampedusa, but that person's dead.
In which case you need to answer for where you were during World War II.
Okay, I would love to hear from you, but not you. Be sure to send me an email at gabbyisbadwithmoney@gmail.com or leave me a voicemail at 844-474-4040. You can also email me a voicemail if you prefer. Join our online communities too. We're on Instagram, Discord, TikTok, Patreon, and Facebook. Links to all of these will be listed in the episode description. Don't forget to listen to the show the day it drops so we can get on the charts and spread the word. Also, every episode has a transcript. I don't know if you guys know that, but you can go and look at the transcript for the episodes. You can read the episodes if you want. Also, we want to do an episode about scams. So please write in and send me your scams. Have you been scammed? Do you scam? Mal, what say you?
I'm Mal Blum on everything, M-A-L-B-L-U-M. Please go look up my music if you like. I stand by some of it.
I too stand by some of my music. Okay, love you guys. Bye.
Done.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.